Bezus Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Pei Gimel in Meseches Bava Kama, 1,474th daf in Shas, where Bizocha to be Messiah, Perek Meruba together, and Pei Gimel Amud Aleph will be the concluding Amud of Perek Meruba. It will continue with Chazal's outlook to Chochmas Yevanis and the Greek language in general, as well as the prohibition of raising a dog in Eretz Yisrael, as well as the prohibition of raising pigeons and the parameters, because pigeons would eat from the tvua, from the produce. And then we will begin Perek HaChovel, entirely new Perek. Many point out that Bava Kama in many ways has a few different parts to it. We have the first six prakim that deal with Nizke Mamon, the seventh perek dealing Perek Meruba with Hilchos Gneva, then we have the eighth perek, Perek Hachovel, that deals with bodily damage, in other words, when Reuven damages Shimon's body, and there the Torah tells the Parshas Mishpatim that there's a payment of Chamisha Dvarim, and that's going to be for the next 10-11 dapim of our Masechta, and then we will go back to Perek Hagozel, back in the sense that we'll also speak about stealing, although Gneva and Gzela are subtly different, and there is a discussion why exactly the Perakim are ordered in this particular manner, and maybe I'll tell you a pshat that I heard from Rav Parnas. Most of the today's daf, in terms of Hachova, will be the drashos, the sources that we have from the psukim, that there is a payment of chamisha dvarim. The most fundamental problem, which is a fascinating problem in parshanut, in drash and halacha, is that the Torah says ayin tachas ayin, that you pay an eye for an eye. So the Gemara will give us the sources of why Chazal chose to understand that the pasuk is not literal, and of course we have a very strong tradition that it means ayin tachas ayin means mama. So Be'ezer Hashem, let's begin the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, actually picking up from the last line on Pei Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara told us that a terrible calamity happened in Yerushalayim that signified the beginning of the Churban, and that is that there was a Greek sympathizer, someone who was a Chacham of Yevanis, that had suggested that in the civil war between the two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, this is mentioned in the last wide lines on Pei Beis Amud Beis, that they, instead of pass a Karban, an animal for the Tamid from the outside to the inside, instead a pig be passed, and this fellow was, as mentioned, a expert in Chachmas Yavan, and from that moment on, Chachmas Yavanis was prohibited. Says the Gemara, on the last line of Pei Beis and Beis, V'Chachmas Yavanis Mi'asira, was Chachmas Yavanis really prohibited? V'atanya, but didn't we learn in a Braisa, Amar Rebbe Beret Yisrael, Loshen Sursi, Lama, O Lashon Hegdish, O Lashon Yevanis. Rebbe was quoted as saying in Eretz Yisrael, don't use Lashon Sursi. In a moment we'll discuss what Lashon Sursi is, but don't use that Lashon Sursi. Either use Lashon Kodesh or use Lashon Yevanis. Ve'amar Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi taught, Bavel in Bavel, Lashon Rami Lama, O Lashon Kodesh, O Lashon Parsi. He said, either use Lashon Kodesh or the Persian language. So obviously, Lashon Kodesh is most ideal. But at the end of the day, Lashon Yevanis was also an option. So we see Chazal were not, particularly Rebbe, was not so concerned about Chochmas Yevanis. Answers the Gemara, a very simple answer. Amri, Lashon Yevani Lechud, Chochma Yevanis Lechud. There's one thing in regards to the language of Greece, there's another thing of the wisdom of Greece. The wisdom of Greece is one that is dangerous for Klal Yisrael. However, Lashon Yevanis is not going to be dangerous. Asks the Gemara, V'chachma Yevanis mi asira? Is Chachmas Yevanis really asr? V'amar, Rav Yehuda Mashmo Misham, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the pasuk in Eicha says, Eini olalo nafshi mikol benois iri. My eye cries when I think about all of my daughters
the literal meaning in the pasuk in Eicha is the daughters that were killed in Yerushalayim. Elef yiladim hayu bebeis Abba. Chazal apply this, that there were 1,000 boys who were from the house of Abba. Chamesh me'os mehem lamdu Torah.
500 of them learned Torah. Chamesh me'os mehem lamdu chachma yivanis. V'lon mishtar mehem ela ani.
And all that was left of them is that I am still here, Kan. Uven achi Abba ba'asya. And everybody else went into Golos.
So it sounds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was saying, there were 1,000 of us who were great, only 2 of us are left, and he praised the 500 learned Torah as well as the 500 that learned Yevanis. And says the Gemara, Amri Shani Beis Rabbi Gamliel, Sheyikruvim Lamalchus. No, they were close to the kingdom, and in other words, the Roman leadership, and they had to learn Yevanis. Ukidisanya,
as we learned in a brisa, hamisaper komi, someone who cuts his hair in the particular way that the Romans would cut their hair, hareza midarke amori, that's the derech amori, that's an isur daraisa v'chukasem lo salechu. However, avtumos baruv enitiru lo lisaper komi b'neishu karav lamalchus. They allowed avtumos because he was a necessary emissary for the king. This is actually codified in the Rambam, and this is a complicated halacha, almost a slippery slope that requires analysis in the case of Mishnah alludes this, in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Gimel in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that Yisrael that's Karav L'Malchus V'tzarech Leishev L'fnei Malchei U'mos Olam V'gnai Lo K'shelo Yidme Lehem, if it will be precarious for the Jewish position if those who are close to the Malchus don't dress and act like them, mutlo legelech keneged panav kederach she'emosim, then he's allowed to cut their hair in the way that they do it, even though that's a prohibition, b'chukosem lo selechu, they would cut the entire area of their head that paralleled the forehead, presumably as well, cutting off the payas themselves. Kesem Mishnah asks, "Ay, there's an issur d'oraisa b'chukoseihem," and he answers that to kedei levato gzeres ros mi Yisrael latzilam, it's going to be mutter. Another suggestion of the Kesem Mishnah is that the Torah didn't spell out what the issur b'chukoseihem is, and therefore it's masrom lechachamim, and they didn't prohibit to krovim lemalchus.
That would seem to be the position as well at Tosas, Dibar Maschel Tiru, where Tosas says that he was allowed to do this because they weren't gozer al krovim lemalchus.
Similarly, says the Gemara, Shel beiz Rabban Gamliel letir lem lesaper bechachma yivanis mipnei shekorim lemalchus. Similarly, they allowed the relatives of Rabban Gamliel to be involved with Chachma Yevanis so that they should be familiar to be able to communicate with the Melech. This is, as we mentioned, a complicated sugya, and it requires a lot of Havana as well as Hadracha. In regards to the second word on our Amma, the Lashon Sursi, what exactly that is, so Rashi in Sota Memtesa Mebe says it's Lashon Arami, it's actually Aramaic, and it was, Rashi by us says that it was a Lashon Nilag, Chazal really did not respect it. We see that as well from Rabbi Yossi, who says that either speak Lashon Kodesh or Lashon Parsi in Bavel, and not to speak Lashon Arami. Interestingly, of course, our Gemara is written the Lashon Arami. Rashi's position in Sota is echoed as well by the Tosas on the top of our Amud. Tosas then suggests later on that it could be it was a Lashon Sursi, comes from Lashon Surya, that this was the language of Aram Tzova and the area that David had conquered. So there is a little bit of a question what this Lashon Sursi is.
Let's Be'ez Hashem continue about 12 lines into Pei Gimel Lamed Alpha. Yigad Alodim Es Hakelv Im Kain Kosher B'Shal Shulos. We learned that the halach is that this was in the Mishnah earlier. And I intesim obeys that one is not allowed to raise a dog, as we mentioned, unless it's tied to a chain. Tanu Rabbanan, lo yigadol adam es hakelev elim kein kosher b'shalsheles. Person should not raise a dog unless it's attached to a chain. Avol megadol hu b'ir asmucha l'sapor, but he's allowed to raise it in a city
that is next to a village of Gentiles. Lasfar is literally the boundary, and he's allowed to raise them there because the dogs will be there to protect them. The kosher bayom, and he keeps it tied during day, matiro belayla. Hence, the dogs would protect them. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, Omer Megadol Klavim Kemegadol Chazirim. Rabbi Eliezer Agadol said that if one raises dogs, it's if one raised pigs. L'may nafkamina, says the Gemara, what is the difference whether you formulate it that it's exactly in the category of raising pigs? L'meikim ala ba'orur, whether it falls onto a category of one who is cursed. The Gemara in Beis Amabeis refers to the pasuk of Arur Yisrael as one who raises chazerim, so that would apply according to Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Everybody agrees it's Asur, but Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol says it falls into category of Arur. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Ben Yumi, Amar Nachman, Bavel, Kiras Mucha Safar Dami. Bavel is considered as if one is near the boundary, because at the end of the day, one is surrounded by dangerous Gentiles. Tirgama Narda, and Tirgama, Rav Yosef Bar Ben Yumi spelled out that Rav Nachman was referring to Narda. He was referring to the city of Narda. Now the Gemara brings out other chumras about raising a dog that is not on a chain. Dorish Rabbi Dustoy, Dimimbiri. Uvnucha Yoimar Shuva Hashem Rivvois Alpha Yisrael. The pasuk in Bamidbar describes Vayhi Ben Saya Aron, that when the Aron traveled, and by Vnucha Yomar, when the Aron rested, we said Shuva Hashem Rivvois Alpha Yisrael. And Moshe was saying, requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should rest amongst Alfei Yisrael. What's this Alfei Yisrael in Drush? Lam dechosh ein shchina shor al Yisrael pachus mishnei alafim. Rivavos Alfei Yisrael refers to the fact that the shchina doesn't rest on less than 2,000 Jews. Shnei rivavos. Rivavos is generally translated as 10,000, so it's 10 plus 10,000 plus 2,000, 22,000 Jews. Tosis points out that we have in Sanhedrin that the Shekhinah rests already when there's 10 Jews around, but here we're talking about for Nevi'im and the Mishkan, and that needs a greater amount of Jews, 22,000 Jews. Pardon the reference, but if I remember correctly, and it could be I've gotten rusty, that the Madison Square Garden sits about 22,000. So once upon a time, there was the Daf Yomi, Siyum HaShas, in Madison Square Garden. Now, Baruch Hashem, we've gone past that, and then we have the greater shear, the shear of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, to shoot for 600,000 of men between the age of 20 and 50. That takes a few MetLife stadiums to fill up. Nachzor l'inyanenu. What happens if there was 22,000 chaser achas, minus one person, v'oisa isha mu'uberes b'neim, and there was a pregnant woman amongst them, and then that would be the 22,000th person. V'navach b'kelev, and a dog barked and scared the woman, v'yipila, and it caused the woman to abort the child. Nimtzes ha'gorim l'shchin l'shistalek mi'yisrael. That causes the shchina to leave klai Yisrael. In other words, it seems that what the Gemara is driving at is that we take very seriously what one dog could do to one pregnant woman, and therefore raising dogs is prohibited. The Gemara says, "Ahi isasa de olas lemaipa." There was bahu besa. There was a woman who was pregnant, that went lemaipa to bake in a house. Nalach bakalav, and a dog began to bark. Amale bare lotista femine shkule nive. Don't be afraid of him. His teeth have been taken away. Amrale, the woman said to him, Shkila tuvasech, shadyach zire. This favor that you've done, that you removed his teeth, take it and throw it to the thorns. Kvarnod vlad. It already scared me, and it already caused me to miscarry. So again, Chazal say that we don't just simply say, don't be afraid of the dog. The Gemara concludes our perek with an analysis of the last line of the Mishnah on Ayin Tes Amabez. Ein parson nishbin liyonim, you can't spread out a trap for doves, except if it's a distance of 4 mil.
which is about 3.5 miles from the community, because we're afraid that someone's personal doves will be caught. Asks the Gemara, "Umi Asli Kuli Hai? Do you have to go that far?" Vatnan, but didn't we learn in Bava Basra and Dafchav Gimel Amud Aleph, Marchikin Es Hashovech Min Ha'ir Chamishim Ama? Then when it comes to a dovecote, in other words, an area where you're raising pigeons and doves, it has to be a distance of 50 Ama from the city. So all we're concerned is that you need to distance 50 amas from the city, because 50 amas, we're afraid within 50 amas that you're going to come to take someone else's doves. More than that, we're not concerned. Yet when it comes to trapping, we say that you have to go further. Rashi points out that the reason why you distance from the dovecote is in order that the doves that you're raising should not damage the tfua in the city. Amar Abaye points out that that distinction that we mentioned from Rashi is the crux of the difference. Meshet shaiti tuva. The birds fly much further than 50 amos, and therefore you need to distance 3.5 miles for mil, because of the concern that you might be trapping other people's pigeons that belong to them. However, kreisayu b'chamisha ama malya, but they fill up with food only within 50 amos of the city, and therefore, as long as you're distancing them 50 amos from the city, we're not afraid that they're going to go eat tfua from outside of the city. Says the Gemara, Meishet shloshim ris, this amount of 4 mil, which is 30 ris, is only the distance that it flies, vesulo, and that doesn't fly further. Vatanya, b'yishu afilu mea mil lo yifras. But didn't we learn, in regards to spreading traps, if it's an area that's inhabited by people, it's a neighborhood, then even 100 mil a distance you can't spread out. Rav Yosef gave a teretz. Rav Yosef amar b'yishuv kramim. Rav Yosef says that we were talking about particularly vineyards. Vineyards, then the birds travel much further. Rabba amar b'yishuv shovchim. Rabba says that if there was a dovecote, particularly that had been set up there, then you have to distance yourself much further than 4 mil. Rabbah didn't say that there were just simply shavachin, but there was yishuv shavachin. There were many different dovecotes. Says Gemara, v'tepiklei mishum shavachin gufayu. But let us say simply because of the dovecotes, it's us. So why does he emphasize the yishuv? Says the Gemara, ibay sema, if you want, I could say b'dovei kochavim, that these dovecotes were and owned by Gentiles. So the Shavachim themselves are not the problem. Chazal would not have assered Gezel Akum as Aser, according to many opinions, but would not have made the Gzeira of putting out these traps if it was from Shavach of a Goy. However, there were, the town itself had many Yonim that belonged to Jews. Then there was Shavachim on the outside, on the perimeter, and the Jewish pigeons, in other words, the pigeons that were owned by Jews, would fly to the Shavach and then fly further away, and 4 mil would not be acceptable. However, due to the Shavach itself, they wouldn't have made the Gzera because that was owned by a guy. Or you could say the Shavachim were belonged to Hefker, but the Hefker. And therefore, again, the concern is that the ones that were owned by Jews would fly to the Hefker and then be caught on the perimeter with those traps. And therefore, you're not allowed to set up those traps. V'ibayisema b'didei. Or you could say that in this case we're talking about the one who's setting up the traps also owned the Shovach, and therefore the concern is not from the Shovach itself, but the Yishuv Shovachim, that the Shovachim are nearby in a Yishuv, and the pigeons from the city will go to rest there, and then later be caught on the traps on the outside. Hence, the halacha is, in such a case, even 4 mil would not be acceptable for setting up the traps, which was allowed in the Mishnah. Hadran alach meruba, we're zocha to learn Perek Meruba. We begin Perek Hachova. I mentioned that the prakim in Maseches Bava Kama are structured in a very interesting fashion. We have the first 6 prakim, which are the prakim that deal with Niskei Mamon. The 7th is the Meruba, which is Dine Gneva. The 8th is Perek Hachovel, which is when there is bodily damage from one person to the next. And the 9th, 10th, and 11th are all dealing with the halachos, 9th and 10th are all dealing with the halachos of Gezela.
It's a little bit of a strange order. I would have expected Geneva and Gizela to be with each other, and Chovel next to Nizke Mamon. I heard from Rav Parnas, maybe, well, a nice pshat, that the first six prakim are Nizke Mamon, and Geneva is something that's done surreptitiously. Geneva, the Gemara told us, is Chayiv Bekefel, because the Ganif sneaks into the window. And therefore, the reparations of Geneva is simply the monetary damage. However, Gzela is one which is done Befarhesi as an affront, is almost a mugging. And therefore, that is closer to Chovel, which is also an attack on the person. This is what Raparnis Shlita suggested. Either way, however we understand the order of the prakim, we now have a very important perek, perek HaChovel. HaChovel b'chavero, chayev alav mishum chamisha dvarim. If someone causes bodily harm to someone else through his own actions, so then direct action, he punches him, to be blunt. So then in such a case, he's chayev five different items. Benezek, he has to pay for the damage. Our perek will spend a lot of time discussing how we assess the damage. Bitsar, the individual's pain. Beripui, the amount of money that's needed to heal him. Besheves, he has to pay for his loss of work. Uboshes, and his embarrassment. The Mishnah immediately gives us how we a mode of assessing these forms of payment. Benezek Ketzat, Simes Einai, if he blinded someone, Kites Yadu, cut off his arm, Shiber Srag, broke his leg, Rono Sekilu Evanimkar Beshuk, the way in which the Nezek is assessed is how much the victim would be sold on the marketplace. Veshaman Kama Hayafa, Vekama Uyafa, how much worth before his leg was damaged and how much afterwards. Sar, how do we assess Sar? Kvo Beshvodo Bemasmer, if he burnt him with a spit or a hurt him with a nail. Vafilar Tziparnaf, who was done on his nail. Emphasis over here is that even though there wasn't any lasting damage, we have to assess how much a person would want to be paid in order to go through that pain. People would pay money to go through that pain. The Gemara will discuss in detail. Sometimes it depends on what type of person it is. Ripui, in terms of the payment for healing him. Hiko chayv l'raposo. It's based on the rule that if Reuven hits Shimon, he has to pay him back. All about smachim, if there's growth that's due to it, in machmas hamakma chayv, he has to pay for that as well. If it's due to machmas, shalom machmas hamaka, but if it's not directly connected to the wound, so then he's potter. Chaysa v'nistera, if it healed and then got worse, chaysa v'nistera chayv l'raposa, chaysa called sarko, but if it's entirely healed, ain't a chayv l'raposa, and then something happens, then he doesn't have to pay him back for the future bills. Sheves, the payment for the loss of work, ro nosa kilu oshamer kishuin. We look at him as if he was someone who guards cucumbers. Shekvar nosan lo, d'mei yado v'd'mei raglo. We don't assess more than that, because he's already paid him for the value of his hand and his foot. Presumably what the Mishnah over here is bringing out is we already assessed how much his foot and his hand were worth, because we assessed by the Nezek if he was damaged. We view how much he would have been sold before and after. Now, if he was a very capable diamond cutter and his hand is and eye was worth a lot, so then in such a case, that would have been assessed as an eved that was sold in the shuk. Hence, the Mishnah is saying, shekvar nasan lo d'mei yodo d'mei raglo, that the shevis is only the most basic missing of work, and that is the most basic work, and that is a shomer kishuin. Boshes hakol fi amavayish v'amisbayish. When it comes to boshes, it really depends on the individual who's being embarrassed and the one who embarrasses him. Rashi explains on hamisbayish that when Reuven embarrasses Shimon, if Reuven is an adam choshuv, then the embarrassment is greater for Shimon. Asks the Gemara, the whole premise of Chayim V'Lov Mishum Chamisha Dvarim is strange from Pshuta Yishol Mikra, the well-known Kasha. Amai, Ayin Tachas Ayin Amar Rachmana. The Torah says that you give an eye for an eye. Ema Ayin Mamish. So the very famous question. And the Gemara has a few complicated drushas to spell this out, where Chazal understood that it didn't mean literally an eye for an eye. Lois alkadaklich. The sanya we learned in a brisa. Yochel sima seni masami seni ketas yada mikatei yada shibes raglo mishaber es raglo. I would think that if he
blinded someone, he should get blinded. Talmud Lomer, Maka Adam with Maka Behema. The Torah in Emor puts together Maka Adam with Maka Behema. Ma Maka Behema l'tashlumin, af Maka Adam l'tashlumin. So there expressly is a reference to tell us not to take the pasuk literally, because the Torah does, in the end of Parshas Emor, equate the payment of paying for when you damage an animal to when you damage a person. And since it's clear that when paying for the damage of an animal, you pay in money, so too, maka adam. Vim nafshech ha-lomer, and if you're going to say, arei u'amer lo'isikhu kofel nefesh ratzeach asher shalomus, that the pasuk says you don't take kofer, you can't take a fine. If a case of when Reuven kills Shimon, Reuven says, I'll give you all my money, but don't kill me, I'll pay as a fine. You don't do that, the Torah says, L'sichlu koifer, v'ischai misi, gotta get misa, y'ata lo'keach koifer, avalo'keach, ata lo'keach kofer, l'rasha evarim, she'enam chozer. Another drasha is, imnafshech alomar, is I can give you another drasha, that you don't take koifer for roitzeach, but you do take koifer for bodily damage. In other words, there is payment that's done for bodily damage and not the limb itself taken in response. Analyzes the Gemara, Hai Maka. We said Maka Adam u'Maka Behema. Which particular pasuk there in Emor are we referring to? Ilema Maka Behema yishalmena u'Maka Adam yumas. That the pasuk says that if you hit a Behema, then you have to pay, but if you hit a person and kill him, you have to die. That's talking about murder. Maka nefesh be mishamena, nefesh tachas nefesh. That the pasuk says that if you're maka nefesh, you pay, and it's like nefesh tachas nefesh. V'samachle, and then the next pasuk says v'ishkite mumba misa kasher asa ken yasa loy. That says that what you did to him, you, in other words, what Reuven did to Shimon by hitting him, so then you also do to Reuven as well. And therefore, since there it's previously the pasuk said you pay, so to over here you would say. Says the Gemara, Hai lav maku, but the pasuk didn't say that he hit him. In other words, the pasuk says maka nefesh, but it doesn't say the ishkiyake. So says the Gemara, Hako hako gamrina. We nevertheless learn out a gzereshava of hakah, since it says yite mum, we equate it to makah. Rashi points out that's a little bit of a leap, because it doesn't say the word hakah mamish, but nevertheless, the Gemara says, even though you would have asked that question, we say, ma hakah hamura bebehema l'tashlumen, af hakah hamura ba'adam l'tashlumen. So both of them are talking about tashlumen. Says the Gemara, v'aksiv v'ish ki yake nefesh, doesn't the pasuk say that if you're not get kol nefesh, the pasuk goes on to say that he's put to death? Answers the Gemara, b'mamun. That means, once we have the gzeres shavah, we have to say that it means that he, it's considered as if he put to death by giving him a payment of mamun. Says the Gemara, mimai de mamun? Why would we say it means mamun? Ema misa mamish. Lo salkadaita, says Gemara, no, that's not the correct reading. Number one is, we already pointed out, we have equation of haka, haka. Interestingly, here the Gemara calls it hekesh. Rashi earlier called it gzereshava. V'olksiv basrei ki kashe yite mum ba'adam ken yinasein boy. Just like he gave a mum in a person, so too he's going to get it. And we said that that's talking mamon, ushmamina mamon. So later pasuk tells us to reread the ishkiyake called nefesh. The Gemara now goes back and analyzes the braisa. We put a big period on the first wide line on Pei Gimel and Mebeis, and we said imnafshech alomar. Originally, we had the drasha of maka adam equated to maka behema, and then we said imnafshech alomar. It also says arei lo sichlu kofer. Umay imnafshech alomar. What does that mean? Suka kasha latana. Says the Gemara, the Tana was still stuck. My chaz is the office maka behema. Why do you say that you equate chovel to maka behema? Leilif maka adam. Let us learn from maka adam. In other words, maka adam, when he kills somebody, he's put to death. So then why don't we learn from maka adam, just like maka behema, maka adam, excuse me, is put to death? So too, even when it's not a case of where he killed him, but if he was chovel him, then he should also get an eye for an eye.
Says Gemara, Amri done nizakim and nizakim ain't done nizakim misa. We learn out the halachas of nizikim from nizikim, and we don't learn out nizikim from misa. Says Gemara, Adarabba, I would have said the opposite. Done adam me adam ain't done adam me behema. We should learn adam from adam and not adam from behema. Says Gemara, Hainu diktani, that's exactly what we said. Im nafshech alomar. If you're going to say, wait a second, let's learn adam from adam, harei yuayme lasichu kaifel nefshir seya chasher hu rasha lomus. Kimos yomus. You don't take kofar from a rotzeach. Kofar the Rosh Evarim she'enon chozrim. So that's the explanation of the imnaf shechalomar. Because you could have asked that you should learn from Adam to Adam. So, and we say, you're right, you might have had that argument, but we have the pasuk, lo sichu kofar lenefesh rotzeach. Reb Shmuel Razovsky Zatzal explained that the back and forth goes as follows. Originally, the Gemara thought that just like when it comes, you know, we spoke about the difference between Nizke Mamon and Chavala from Rav Parnas, which is based on Rav Chaim's explanation. So originally, the Gemara, two lines in, says, Don in Nizakim in Nizakim, two lines into the wide, you should learn Nizakim Nizakim, because just like you have to pay for loss in regards to Mamon, when your shor damages another shor, so too, you have to pay if you punch his eye. To which the Gemara says, wait a second. But that's talking about Nezikin, that's talking about Adam from Behema. There you're talking about the damage of a Behema, that's a monetary damage. Over here, punching someone's eye out is a lower form of another case of Adam ba'Adam, and that's Ritzicha. And therefore it's not a regular form of Tashlumen. If it's not a regular form of Tashlumen, then maybe you would take it literally and say that just like if he kills him, he gets the same punishment, so too if he punches out his eye, he needs his eye punched out. To which the Gemara comes back and says, you're right, it's a different form of Tashlumen. Lo sichu kofer, however, this is a form of kofer. What type of kofer? It's a knas, it's a fine. It's not a regular case of Tashlume mamon. Says the Gemara, "V'ha'ilo sichu kofer nevesh rotzeach lemute rosh evarim huda asa." But that pasul of sichu kofer is coming to tell us a particular halach in regards to injuring the rosh evarim. That is particularly if he cut off one to the 24 rosh evarim. Rosh evarim are the particular limbs that are the leading limbs of the body, like an arm, a nose, and so on. Asks the Gemara, but wait a second, that is how you're using the pasuk, as we just described. Ha'mibayle dam rachmana lo tavid beitarti. Didn't Chazal darshan this pasuk, lo sichu kofer, lo tishku minei mamon v'tiktele, that you don't take money and kill him. In other words, that you don't give two onshim in the case of a rotzeach, but it's not telling you the halacha of rashi evarim, telling us the halacha of chovel in our Perek. Says the Gemara, no, that Rasha, this halacha that a person who's killed doesn't also pay money, haimichdei rishasa nafka, that we've had earlier, and that is from the pasuk kidei rishasa, risha achas ata mechayvoi viyata mechayvoi shtei rishayas, that a person who is chayv misa only gets one of the rishayas, and we also apply that to other instances as well, that you don't get to onshim, but the primary case is for Misa Imalan. Says the Gemara, Vakatimi Boile, the Kamrachman Tishka Mamu Tiftere. But we need to use the pasuk for its literal meaning of Losikhu Kofa. Remember, we're now learning from Losikhu Kofa Nefesh Rotzeach to really be the source of Chiyuv Tashlumin for Chavala in contrast to Misa. But in the case of Misa, we need to learn that you're not allowed to take money and exempt him. Says the Gemara, Imkein lichtov rachmana lo sichu kofar lasher hu rasha lomus. Don't take kofar for someone who needs to be put to death. Lenefesh rotzeach lomali. What's it coming to emphasize when it says lenefesh rotzeach? Shma mina lenefesh rotzeach yatalokeach kofar, continues the Gemara on the first entirely wide line, six lines from the bottom, that you don't take kofar from a rotzeach, aval to lokeach kofar the rosh evarim shein chozrim, but you take kofar for chavala, and chavala is particularly for those 24 evarim that don't return. In other words, when the arm is chopped off, when a nose is chopped off, they don't return. If a piece of flesh is gouged out, it often returns. Now, once we had the second drush of Sichu Kofar, which was from the Imnaf Shechalomar, 7 lines into the Gemara, so why do I need that first drush of Maka Maka? Says Gemara, Amri, Ime, hi, if we would have just said, Lo Sichu Kofar, Havamina, Ibai Eine Nasiv, Vibai Dme Eine Nasiv. You ask the fellow what he wants to pay. He could even get pay with his eye, or he could pay with his money. In other words, you can't take his eye if he doesn't want to. But what happens if he wants to give? We learn from the pasuk of Maka Behema that just like when you damage someone else's animal, it's with money, so too when it comes to chavala. So these are the two important sources. Let's do chazara by working backwards. Since we've been learning two different prakim today, let's do chazara backwards. Let's do chazara on perek hachova on pei gimel amibes, and then on pei gimel amid aleph. Fundamentally, we have two psukim. One is that the Torah equates Maka Adam and Maka Behema for Chavala, that you pay money. Hence, Achol B'Chavero pays Chamisha Dvarim, Nezek Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boshes. And our Mishnah tells us how we assess that. As well as another pasuk that says in regards to murder, Lo Sichlu Kofar Nefesh Watzeach, and Chazal Darshan, Afal Atal Lokeach Kofar, L'Roshe Eivarim. And this is the fine that is paid for Chavala. That was what the Gemara was struggling with on Pei Gimel on the base, even though the Pasuk in Mishpatim says, Ayin Tachas Ayin, Chazal had a tradition that is not what it means. And that, Mirtz Hashem, we will be discussing all the details of Tashlumei Chavala in the future Dapim of the Daf Yomi. We concluded Perek Meruba by talking about the fact that Chochma Yevanis Lechud is prohibited. However, Lashon Yevanis, Chazal did not always frown upon. In fact, Chazal preferred Lashon Yevanis over Lashon Sursi, which is either Lashon Arami or Lashon Surya. We also learned the prohibition of raising a dog. And one cannot say, the dog is not dangerous. At the end of the day, I removed its teeth because the fear of the dog had caused women to miscarry. Ultimately, there are two halachas of setting up a trap for doves. It depends on where you are. The Mishnah tells us that you have to distance yourself 4 mil. If, however, there are many Jewish doves that come to that area, then there are times that you have to even distance it more than 4 mil, and that is how Perek Meruba concludes. This Beis Hashem concludes Daf Pei Gimel in Maseches Bava Kama.